This article is brought to you by the best-selling book site Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to offer validation without reinforcing drama. Hear someone fully without feeding the spiral that keeps them stuck. In short, patient hearing means giving someone the experience of being understood without giving them permission to stay stuck. Done well, it separates the genuine emotion from the drama surrounding it. Acknowledge the feeling clearly and specifically, not the story built around it. Redirect toward what the person can control before the conversation loops. Know when to stop listening and start asking a forward-facing question. Definition: patient hearing skills are the deliberate practice of listening fully to someone in emotional distress while maintaining enough composure and direction to acknowledge what is real, contain what is not, and guide the conversation toward resolution rather than repetition. Years ago, I sat across from a colleague who had been wronged by a manager. The situation was real. The frustration was earned. I listened for 20 minutes, nodding, agreeing, adding fuel with phrases like "that is outrageous" and "you're completely right." She left feeling heard. She came back the next day with the same story, a little larger. And the day after that, I had not helped her. I had helped the drama. Offering validation without reinforcing drama is one of the most precise skills in the whole territory of patient hearing. Most people land in one of two ditches. They shut the conversation down too quickly, which leaves the person feeling dismissed and more volatile. Or they lean in so completely that they become part of the loop, which gives the person permission to keep circling. The narrow path between those two ditches is what this article is about. Why staying present without getting swept in is genuinely difficult. Here is the truth of it: the pull to grieve is almost physical. When someone is distressed, every silence feels like an accusation. Every hesitation feels like betrayal. Your nervous system reads their urgency and wants to match it. The fastest way to reduce that tension is to say, "Yes, you're right. This is terrible." It works in the short term. It feels like compassion. It is not. The difficulty is compounded when you respect the person. If you did not care, distance would be easy. But patient hearing is hardest with people you genuinely want to help, because every moment of restraint feels like withholding. You are not withholding. You are doing the harder, more useful thing, staying grounded so they have something solid to push against. What needs to be in place before you begin? Two things must be true before you can apply any of this. First, you need composure. If you are already irritated, depleted, or pressed for time, you will not hear well and you will not redirect well. A conversation attempted without composure usually makes things worse. It is better to name your limits honestly. "I want to give this the attention it deserves. Can we speak in 30 minutes? Second, you need a working understanding of the difference between the feeling and the story. The feeling is always real. The story built around it may or may not be accurate, and it may or may not be useful. Your job is to honour the first without endorsing the second. Hold that distinction clearly before you sit down. This connects directly to the conditions that make honest conversation possible at all. If you want to understand how psychological safety enables this kind of communication, that foundation matters here too. The six steps of patient hearing that does not feed the spiral. Step 1. Set your internal stance before you speak. Before anything else, decide what you are there to do. You are there to help the person move, not to become their audience. This is not a posture of cold efficiency. It is a posture of genuine care that includes enough backbone to redirect when redirection is needed. A good listener is like a riverbank; the water moves because there is something solid on either side. Step 2. Listen for the emotion beneath the story. Let them speak without interruption for the first 2 to 3 minutes. Do not evaluate. Do not mentally counter their account. Your only job right now is to identify what they are actually feeling underneath what they are saying. Often there is grief beneath anger, or fear beneath contempt. The story they are telling is the surface. Their emotion is the root. When someone says, "He never gives me credit for anything," the root emotion might be invisibility or disrespect. That is what you are listening for. Step 3. Name the emotion accurately. Once they have stopped or taken a breath, name what you heard beneath the words. Be specific. "You feel frustrated" is too thin. "It sounds like you feel invisible, like your work disappears before anyone notices it is close enough to land." A script that works here. "What I'm hearing is that you feel genuinely overlooked, and that this has been building for a while. Is that close? That question at the end is important. It hands them the authority to correct you. That act alone signals that you are actually listening, not performing listening. When you get this right, most people exhale. Something releases. They feel met. This kind of empathic response is the heart of what makes empathy bridges and team communication so effective in difficult conversations. Step 4. Separate the feeling from the interpretation. Once the emotion is named and acknowledged, do not follow them into the interpretation. This is the step most people skip. They name the feeling and then agree with the story. Yes, he does sound like he dismisses people. That agreement feels kind. It is not. It locks the person into their account of events. Instead, hold the emotion without the narrative. That feeling of being overlooked is real and it matters. I want to understand more about what you think would need to change for it to shift. You have acknowledged what is real. You have not confirmed a verdict about someone who is not in the room. You have also done something important. You have begun facing the conversation toward what can be done. Step 5. Watch for the second loop. The moment they begin repeating the same ground, you are at the edge. People in distress often circle back not because they have more to say, but because they do not yet feel fully heard, or because the looping itself has become the comfort. Either way, continuing to listen at that point is not patience. It is participation. Here is a redirect that is firm without being cold. I hear you, and I think I understand the weight of this. I want to ask you something, because I think it matters more than the details of what happened, what would need to be different for you to feel respected in this work. That question does two things. It signals that you have heard enough to move forward. It also shifts the frame from what happened to what is possible. Both are acts of respect. Step 6. Close with a boundary and a next step. Every patient hearing conversation needs a clear ending. If you simply let it dissolve, the person will carry the unfinished feeling back to you tomorrow. Name what you heard, name the next step, and close it, a script that works. So what I am taking away is that you need more consistent acknowledgement of your contributions. I think that is worth raising directly. Would you be willing to think about how you might do that? I am glad to help you prepare. You have summarized. You have pointed toward action. You have offered concrete support without taking the problem off their hands. That is the right close. For guidance on how to give feedback that supports rather than destabilizes people after a conversation like this, see how to give feedback that strengthens team synergy. Adapting these steps when the same person keeps coming back. Some people return with the same story because they are working something through. That is normal, and one or two returns deserve the same patient process. But when someone arrives for the fourth time with the same narrative and no movement, the conversation has changed. You are no longer dealing with someone processing distress. You are dealing with someone rehearsing it. At that point, patience without boundary becomes its own kind of harm. You can say this with warmth. We have talked about this a few times now, and I want to be honest with you because I think you deserve that. I do not think talking about it more is helping you. What would actually change something? That is a harder thing to say. It is also the more caring thing. Redirecting someone who is stuck is not abandonment. It is the act of someone who genuinely believes they can move. You might also consider whether a formal mediation process would serve the broader situation better, especially if the conflict involves another team member. Mediating between two team members requires a different process, but the grounding in patient hearing serves you there too. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Where people get this wrong. The first mistake, agreeing with a story to shortcut the discomfort. When you match someone's outrage to lower the temperature, you are borrowing against the future. They will return with a larger story, already validated. Correct this by naming the feeling without the verdict. I hear how frustrated you are rather than that does sound awful of him. The second mistake, redirecting too early. Some people jump to solutions before the person feels heard. The person then escalates because they need to make you understand before they can consider moving. Wait until you have named the emotion and had it confirmed before you redirect. The sequence matters. The third mistake. Continuing to listen past the second loop. This feels like generosity. It is not. It signals that the circling is acceptable, which means the circling will continue. Introduce the forward-facing question as soon as the second loop begins. Do not wait for a natural break. One may not come. For more precision on how to handle specific conflict moments without taking on other people's patterns, use an I statements to prevent blame cycles is a directly useful companion skill. And if you need to name the problem itself clearly before the listening begins, delivering a neutral problem statement gives you the language to do that. The SBVI method can also help you give specific, grounded feedback that comes from what you observed rather than what you assumed. How to use the SBVI method is worth reading alongside this. Your patient hearing reference card. Keep this nearby until the steps are automatic. Number 1. Before you begin, am I composed? Do I have time? If not, schedule the conversation. Number 2. First 2 to 3 minutes. Listen without evaluation. Identify the emotion beneath the story. Number 3. First response. Name the emotion specifically. End with a checking question. Number 4. Second response. Acknowledge the feeling. Do not endorse the interpretation. Begin facing toward action. Number 5. Watch for the loop. When the same ground repeats, redirect with a forward-facing question. Number 6. Close clearly. Summarize what you heard. Name a next step. Offer specific support without taking ownership of the problem. Number 7. If they return repeatedly, name it directly and with warmth. Ask what would actually change something. Continued listening without redirection is not patience, it is participation in the pattern. The work worth practicing. There is a line between hearing someone and being used by them. Most people spend years finding it. Patient hearing skills do not require you to choose between compassion and clarity. They require you to hold both at the same time, which is harder and more worthwhile than either alone. The person across from you deserves to be understood. They also deserve someone who believes they can move. Practice the steps above until they feel less like a process and more like a posture. When that happens, you'll find you can offer patient hearing even in the most charged conversations because you trust yourself to stay grounded while they find their footing. Frequently asked questions. What are patient hearing skills? Patient hearing skills are the ability to listen fully to someone in distress without being pulled into their emotional pattern or inadvertently encouraging more of it. They include acknowledgement, paraphrasing, and deliberate redirection toward resolution rather than repetition. How do you validate someone without reinforcing drama? You acknowledge the feeling directly and specifically, then redirect toward what is within their control. You separate the emotion from the story they are building around it, and you resist the pull to agree with interpretations that keep them stuck in repetition. Why is patient hearing so hard with difficult people? Because the pressure to respond, agree, or fix is enormous when someone is distressed. Most people either shut the conversation down too quickly or get drawn into the emotional spiral. Patient hearing requires staying present without being swept along by the current. What is the difference between validation and enabling? Validation acknowledges how someone feels without endorsing the narrative they have built around it. Enabling means confirming that narrative, which gives permission to keep circling it. You can say the feeling is real without agreeing that the story surrounding it is accurate or useful. How do patient hearing skills apply in remote or written communication? In remote settings, the absence of nonverbal cues means every word carries more weight. You slow down your responses, name emotions explicitly rather than reflecting them through tone, and use deliberate pauses in conversation to signal that you're genuinely considering what was said. When should you stop listening and redirect the conversation? When the same ground has been covered twice without movement, it is time to redirect. Continued listening at that point is not patience, it is participation. Introduce a forward-facing question to shift the energy from rehearsing the problem toward identifying what can actually change. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.